The main topic of this interview is new album named Sound Like It Hurt, but first some memories, because in this year it was 5 years since the release of the first album of Bar Italia titled Quarrel. And my first question is, how the beginnings looked like?
So we met in London around 2019, and we had mutual friends, and we ended up living in the same kind of apartment block. So I used to live upstairs, and Sam and Jasmine used to live downstairs together. And then we started playing together, because we kind of knew we were making music already by ourselves. So it just made sense to try, I guess, because we were close already. And it worked out pretty well, not straight away, but almost. And then we were lucky enough to be close to Dean Blunt, which meant that he put us out on the World Music label, which has his own, like, you know, aura and stuff. So without having to really say much about ourselves, our music became very popular thanks to that, I think. And thanks to also, obviously, people liking the music. And it was during COVID, so we didn't do shows or gigs or anything. So for a long time, people didn't quite know who was part of the band because we kind of, it was a bit of a strange time altogether. And then when we ended up playing shows, it had been almost 2 years since the first release, and we had already released 2 albums and 1 EP, even if they were very short. So the gigs were very exciting, because loads of people wanted to see us, and because it had been so long since gigs in general, and we've never done a gig before. And then from there, we ended up getting signed, and that really changed things for many reasons, like the amount of exposure, financial, and you know, touring the world, as you said. And now we're here.
And in 2025, you've got a newest release from Matador Records titled Some Like It Hot. And I will start with the title, because it's a reference to the classic cinema, classic movie of the late 1950s. And I wonder who came up with the idea to name the album that way. And is this person a big fan of Marilyn Monroe?
I mean, who isn't? But I think the point is exactly that, is the fact that it's a classic. It's like an iconic film. We didn't think so much about the content of the film, but we just thought about the name and how it resonated, and there's something cheeky about it and quite bold, and so we went with it.
In the description, we can read that we will find moments that surprise like a ray of sunshine at 5 p.m. Why this particular hour and not, for example, 12 p.m. or 6 a.m.?
We didn't write that, so we're not sure why the person who wrote that chose that particular metaphor or simile or whatever. So we're not sure.
I think we've said in a few interviews that it reminds us of night when asked if it reminded us of night, if you know what I mean. Because it's true that it has a certain kind of like dream state or dreamlike feeling to it. But I personally don't think that the whole album feels like a night album, even though, and I feel like other albums that we've written have instead that kind of like night quality. This one, I feel like the songs that like really remind me of spring and daytime and sunlight, specifically in London. And a lot of it was written in Mexico during the daytime, and it was like super sunny and stuff. So I think, not to be a devil's advocate, but I think it's a little bit broader than that.
And out of the 12 songs, in my opinion, the most depressing is Marble Arch. The first verse suggests that it will not be a fairy tale, which will witness a lot of joy, especially the first verses. I dreamt you hung yourself. What is the story behind it?
It says, I dreamt you hung yourself and my little sister too. So it's like a dream I had about my mom killing herself. Which in all honesty is a recurrent dream of mine. And I'm slightly playing with like how easygoing and like bluesy the instrumental is, and like the usual trope of putting extremely doomish lyrics over it. But I was thinking specifically about what those kind of dreams do to your day or do to your life. They kind of become memories as much as any other memory that you might have had, because I really remember the room and the colors of the room, etc. And I can go back to that place very easily, just like I can, you know, go back to the gig we played yesterday or whatever. So it's I was kind of thinking about dreamscapes and like how they become somehow part of your memory and your consciousness, even if you've never seen it before or you'll never see it.
Okay, and comparing this album with the recordings you released at the beginning, Quarrel, Bedhead, I see that you are developing and you are not afraid to experiment in terms of sound. The first songs was very darkness, very hard, and now we've got some ballads. And my question is, how long does evolution last?
How long does evolution... Oh my God. Sorry, that's a really good question. Can you expand on it a little bit? Like, what do you mean, evolution?
Evolution for the sounds of your music, for example.
You mean how further are we going to bring it?
Yes.
Oh, I know what you mean. I think it took us about a year and a half or 2 years to evolve, because we were touring a lot. So from playing all the gigs, we learned a lot about writing, because we had to adapt to challenges of playing live. And then when we came back into recording again, we had learned all these things about sound and, you know, resolving issues with sound on stage that then actually went into writing melodic, you know, pieces with that in mind.
Next question is about the cover of this album. We have a wing on the white, I would say, board, and that's basically it. I wonder, what is the symbolism of this cover?
I think it goes quite well with the title. We're not super conceptual when thinking about stuff, so we go a lot on intuition, and then so far there always seems to be it always kind of makes sense conceptually afterwards when thinking about it, but at the time we just thought it looked good. And I guess we were into something slightly stripped back and graphic and recognizable, and again with this like element of cheekiness and humor, especially because, as you said, the album has like loads of different kind of chapters and depths, and it's quite rich actually, so we kept everything else quite simple but also quite cinematic, I think. So some people have said that it looks a bit like a old film poster or like that kind of stuff makes sense. Also, I don't know if you've seen the whole design of the actual vinyl, but it's got like this optical drawing on the vinyl sticker, and like, and it's got this like black and white, like it's very graphic and very like block colors, and which is an aesthetic at the moment we're quite attracted to.
And the album ends with the famous quote, well, nobody's perfect. In the description, we can read that you are close to the ideal. And last question is, it is, what do you think a perfect album of Bar Italia would look like?
So Nobody's Perfect is the end of the film, not the end of our album. So the end of Some Like It Hot, I think the last line is Nobody's Perfect, which at the time we didn't know. But I think it got written in the press release, and that's how we remembered. I think the last line of the album is just me saying, if there's something I regret, actually. But so in terms of like what a perfect album is, I think this is a perfect album. I don't think Nobody's Perfect. I think the album is perfect.
Okay, and very thank you. The Bar Italia band is my guest of Radio Uvu MFM. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.